I'm Shan Rose. This is Straight From Rose, your front row seat to government, community, and all the in-between tea. Served, informed, not messy. So when it hits your timeline, you say it loud with your chest. You heard it straight from Rose. Thank you for tuning in to Straight From Rose podcast. I want to thank all the listeners, the viewers, the subscribers, and even more importantly, you who listen in and are continuing to get to know more about City of Orlando government, what we do, our community partners. And I want to continue to help you understand where we are, where we're going. District 5 is growing. But I spend a lot of time on youth empowerment in the district, creating better opportunities, more opportunities, and being very intentional on how we make sure the youth who are our future have the best options available to them. You know, someone said, I listen to your podcast all the time and, you know, what are you doing for the youth? I'm like, what am I doing for the youth? You know what? You are my inspiration. Shout out to Mr. Joel for telling me that. Because I have something that I call, and I, when I do my community engagement and activities, I do something called the sandwich motto. And ultimately, I spend time engaging with our youth and engaging with our seniors. And so as the parent, when your mom comes home and your child comes home and say, Commissioner Rose or Miss Shan, or some of y'all that really, really know Miss Shaniqua came by and, you know, I saw her today or she did this activity, or even when I'm just at home planning activities, it's to be able to say, how do I compress the parent in the household to be able to come out and reach the services that we have available for our parents. So when we talk about youth engagement and youth empowerment, we spend, for me, I spend endless hours, not just working on programming, but just, you know, honestly, spending time in our neighborhood centers in the community, hearing from our youth, hearing what they're missing, what they're needing, and then connecting with our community partners to be able to address those concerns. Recently I had a meeting with Nemours Ginsburg and, you know, really figuring out how to plug and play. How do we address the true concerns of our youth so that they have all the services? I think for me, as being a mom to an 11-year-old boy, I see things from lenses that I'm like, man, I'm glad that I can experience different things so that I can help other parents who may be going through the same thing, or I may be able to provide programming that wasn't accessible and that wasn't available so that the kids have the access that they wouldn't have had before. And, you know, recently we cut the ribbon at the Jackson Center, at the playground, you know, rebuilt the park, but we didn't, there's not just one park. There's two parks, so to speak, a playground. So there's one where your typical elementary, maybe your, you know, middle school too. But then the other part is a whole obstacle course. And so that's for your middle school kids and your older kids to have somewhere to actually play. And so when you think about, you know, meeting the needs and meeting our youth right where they are to address their concerns, when I, you know, spend time at Jones High School feeding the football players and hearing from the football players, or when I go with my community partners, the League of Women Voters, to the high schools such as Jones or Evans, and we give presentations about voting rights and the history of voting rights and why it's important. Point that you may not know for listeners, in the state of Florida, our youth can pre-register to vote at 16. Just so you know, they can pre-register so that when they turn 18, their voter card comes to their home. But, you know, it's engaging. It's, you don't know where you're going if you don't know where you've come from. And you, as in a person, the community that you live in, the community that you come from, because you may not live where you grew up, but learning about the community that you do live in, and then taking pieces of a community that you might have come in and say, well, this worked well there, let's try it here, is what's important. You know, I was born in Brooklyn, and I took public transit from a young age. public transit alone from at a young age going to school. That was normal life. That was normal living, getting on the bus, getting on the train to go to school at 9, 10 years old, where you didn't think anything of it, but you created a sense of community. And so when you look at, for me, talk about transportation, how do we create public access transportation for all ages to be able to safely ride? How do you say, you know, you safely ride the city bus to go to school because you want to go to a better school? That's why I rode the public bus growing up. I was going to a better school outside of my neighborhood. So making sure, like, just down to simple actions like that for our youth. If our youth need to want to be able to go to a better school that may not be in their community, do they have public transit access to get there? And what does that look like? I, for the listeners who don't know, I lost a 3.5-year-old son 12 years ago to health conditions. And that is part of my why. I think about the gaps in my life and the unanswered questions that I had and not being able to be guided as a parent to the resources that I needed. And then I'm going to be transparent. The help I probably needed after losing my son, you know, the true emotional support that exists that I didn't know I needed. So being able to experience that, I look at things from multitude of lenses, from access to healthcare, access to services, being okay with what, and this is a big thing, especially in the Black community, being okay with a diagnosis from a doctor and being able to address that diagnosis. I mean, when we think about right now, there's something that's growing in the minority community is autism. I mean, it's growing everywhere, but more specifically in the minority communities and folks not being okay with getting the help when you get that diagnosis. So, you know, I would say that's probably my why I spend so much time focused on our youth, you know, losing a child and now having the grateful opportunity to raise another child. But I think about the gaps. I think about, you know, I was just thinking the other day, I need to look at the programs and services that we offer to say, what activities do we offer on the weekends for kids? Because I said, yeah, I need to start, my son needs to start getting out the house and stop playing these video games every day, right? Or stop watching TV or the YouTube. So, you know, looking at the needs that I may have and how do we make things better? Where do we find gaps? But the most important part is meeting with our youth to hear what we could do better, what we could do different. What are they needing? And then once we hear that, then we start including the rest of the community. Then we bring the families and the stakeholders in to say, okay, what do you need? And then we kind of figure out how do we combine them? How do we make them one so that it's not just for today, it's for the future, because that's who the youth are. They are our future. And so the decisions that we make today will impact them, both good or bad. And so hearing from them is important. I would say youth initiatives has been quite interesting since I've been elected. And two years ago, actually, I started serving, June 24th, 24. It's been interesting, to say the least, because there are a lot of programs and services that we offer. And I'm really in the space and I'm, you know, working to take a deep dive into what we do offer. And for me, what we do have to start doing collectively as a society, not just as a city of Orlando, but collectively as a society, is quality over quantity. Because if I'm offering 100 programs and they're not being taken advantage of, then it's how do you go back to the drawing board and say, let's work backwards. Let's pull back on some of the programming. Let's look at what's the most attended or the most active. Or let's go back to our youth and say, hey, here's what we have. Pick your top 5, pick your top 10, and focus on them. So I will probably be starting a work study group in the district where I look at all of the programs and really let our youth pick their top. And let's work backwards, because while a lot of activity may seem good, it's got to be intentional when we do programming. So, you know, growing up, when we were in school, we didn't have five electives, right? We had two electives that we went to each semester, for the semester. We didn't say, well, I'm jumping from this one to this one to this one. We had core classes, and then you had a certain amount of electives. And I think that's got to be the same things that we do with our youth. And so, you know, it's been great. Let me say this. Shout out to the City of Orlando Family Parks and Recreation Department. Our current director is Rodney Williams, and his seconds Tyrone and Mike Pavelko, Anthony Williams. They are amazing to go to. And then all of the staff members from all of the recreation centers, from all of the activities that we do. Shout out to Jacob, because he does an amazing job with FPR, social media. But I would say it has been a pleasure, and it continues to be a pleasure, because where I see a need, Rodney and the team has done a great job of getting it done. So when I first got elected, and that's where I started, I first got elected 2 years ago, I realized that there was a gap in middle school programming. And I said, hey, guys, we need to do something about programming for middle school kids. These youth just need somewhere to go. And shout out to, it was Lisa Early at the time. She was the director side by side with Rodney. And they found a way, after I got elected, to do an after school for the middle school kids. So from 5:30 to 7:30, which is after our after school program gets out. So the way our policies are currently at our neighborhood centers, we're not allowed to mix programs with certain funded programs. So we have typically elementary school kids are until 5:30. And so we have middle school programming from 5:30 to 7:30 at two of our neighborhood centers. And that was something that I was like, hey, we need to get something for our kids. And, you know, again, shout out to FBR for hearing my vision and working. We are collectively coming up this fall. We will have a new program that we're rolling out. You know, we're fine tuning the pieces because it is a huge hurdle. And I will talk more about it once we are finalized, because I need to let the listeners understand it a little bit more. So I'll intertwine it on a later podcast. So that means you need to tune in and turn on the little alert. If you're on Apple Podcasts, turn on the little alert so you get an alert every week when an episode comes out. But youth engagement is important. Hearing from them so that they know that the decisions that we make and the programs that we make are important. So I think sometimes some staff members may not like that. I see things from a different lens, and I care about our youth. And, like, you know, unfortunately, some people just come every day to collect a check. Others, I'd say for the most part, staff loves what they do. So let me not get that twisted. But there's something to just say, you know, here's the program. Here's what I'm supposed to do today. That, you know, at this time, this is what the schedule says I'm supposed to do with these kids. So last year, the City of Orlando celebrated 100 years of parks and recreation. And I went to the Northwest Center. Found out that, let me tell you, I walked in. So we're about to celebrate and cut this cake. I'm talking to the kids, asking them how the summer camp is going. And I look to my left and there's an empty pool. So Northwest is one of our 365 pools. So it's heated. So you can go at any time and of the year and you can go swimming at the pool. So I look and I'm like, the pool's empty. So it something clicked and I said, hey, how many of y'all don't know how to swim here? And so the kids looked at me, you know, some of them a little shy, but several raised their hands. And it was actually really alarming to me, because for a community and a state surrounded by water, most apartment complexes have some sort of retention pond or swimming pool. It was really alarming to see kids raise their hands. And then others came over quietly. They were too embarrassed. And again, shout out to staff, but I talked to Rodney and I said, hey, Rodney, we need to implement some kind of program where every youth that comes into our Northwest Center knows how to swim. And so when you look at, you know, I literally meet them where they are. And so at the Neighbor Center, just came, literally came to have some cake, cut cake, eat some cake and have a good time. Created and implemented a program that still exists at the Northwest Center. So all youth who go to the summer program or they go to the after school program at Northwest, they have swim lessons. And the goal is to make sure 100% of our youth that go to the Northwest Center have swim lessons. But then I took it a step further. And so this is what I continue to do. My lived experiences, I take them and I figure out how to make them work. I am proud to say the city of Orlando is now able to accept swim vouchers. So if any parents out there who live in the city of Orlando, if you receive Medicaid or Children Medical Services or any of your health, I would encourage you to call any of your health care providers. Call to find out if your child is eligible for a swim voucher. The swim vouchers are from 0 to 7 years old. Find out if they are eligible for a swim voucher. What you will ultimately do is your case manager will get you a piece of paper in the mail that says, I am taking swim lessons. The city of Orlando, it is an 8-week swim lesson that will be free with the voucher. You do not have to pay anything. So these are things where you meet people where they are. So I, as a parent, I knew about the swim voucher. So I went and I told staff, hey, we need to be, I went to staff, hey, are we certified to receive vouchers from the state of Florida for swim lessons? And they looked at me and everybody was like, what's that? I told myself, well, eligible parents receive swim vouchers from their insurance company to be able to make sure that kids know how to swim. And they were like, yeah, we didn't know anything about it. So staff went through the process. I called a legislator when we seemed to have somewhat of an issue, and now the city of Orlando receives it. I went a step further. Before this recent session, it was only 0 to 4. I sit on the Orange County Swim Safety Task Force, worked with legislators Carlos Gilmer Smith and Rep. Anna Scamani, and they were able to increase the swim voucher age from 4 to 7. So, which is why I mentioned earlier, 0 to 7. But it's the advocacy. It's sitting on groups and committees that work to address the concerns and the needs of the community, especially our youth. So those are a couple. Also, I want to thank the Florida Department of Health. So when I got elected, I believe in smiling and teeth. There is a young man and I will forever remember. So I walked into a center back in 2024 and was given out, I think I was given out sunglasses. I was given out some kind of swag. Matter of fact, I take that back. I was reading a book. So Orange County Early Learning Centers, they do book readings throughout the year, different times. And it was this one young man that stuck out to me. And what it was, he was 3 years old and he had silver caps in his mouth. And I said to myself, he's 3 years old and already has silvers in his mouth. How do I help these youth when it comes to healthy teeth so that they can grow up and know how to, one, get the cleaning services that they need, but they can understand the importance of getting their teeth checked to encourage their parents, right? Like sometimes parents just, I'm busy. Here's a toothbrush, brush your teeth. Don't know the thought process. So reached out to a couple agencies, didn't get anywhere, and happened to go and sit down to meet the executive director. And I shout out to Dr. Robert Karch, sat down with the Florida Department of Health after I got elected to just talk about what services the Florida Department of Health offers. And, you know, I tell folks, if there's a program and you need somewhere to implement it, I got a place for you. It's always somewhere in the district to implement a program. But he said, hey, we got a dental mobile bus. And I was like, there's no way you got a dental mobile bus. And I'm looking for a dental mobile bus for my kids in the district. And he was like, no, seriously, we do. And I was like, for real? So after we're done touring the facility, the big bus was sitting outside of the parking lot. And I'm like, Dr. Karsh, there's no way this bus is just sitting here. just not being occupied because I've got plenty of children in the district that need it. And so shout out to Principal Albert at Orange Center Elementary. I found out that the bus will meet the youth wherever they are. And so fortunate that I, you know, great community partners went out. Principal Albert had reached out to me and I said, I got it. And so Orange Center Elementary was the first. So then we were rolling in. And so the partnership, the bus comes, permission slip is given. No parents are needed. The permission slip is given, sent home, parents sign it, and the kids are seen on the bus. So we're rolling into the summer and, you know, Orange Center is only one part of the community. And I said, well, I want to serve at our neighborhood centers. And Robin was like, shout out to Robin Moorhead at Florida Department of Health. She said, well, we don't have any plans for the summer. I was like, wait, you don't have any plans? Well, I have plans for you. So I reached out to our Rodney again, Family Parks and Recreation, and I said, hey, I want to bring the bus during the summer camp and make it and help get our children's teeth clean. And he was like, get out. What? What's that? Like, you know, usually you have maybe a fair or a community partner pops in, but not something where it's like you want to serve all the kids during a short period of time. So end up finding out we did not have an MOU with the Florida Department of Health to provide services. And it was like, you know, it was shocking to me, but it's just a small piece of like seeing a need, meeting a need, addressing a need, and then working with staff to get those needs met. And so, you know, we now have an MOU with the Florida Department of Health. So our neighborhood centers, what they do is they give the permission slips with the summer packets. And if the kids are at any of our neighborhood centers, they will go. They will, you know, they will go for certain days at a time. They will get their teeth clean. And I get it all the time when the kids walk up to me randomly and was like, look, I got my teeth done. And I think for me, like, I would say, like, that's one of my biggest joys are the programs and the services that we provide when the kids just randomly come and see me somewhere and say, thank you. Hey, remember when you did this? Well, look at what I'm doing. Or remember when you did that? Look at what I'm doing. Or, you know, the funny one is when I go to some of my centers, the kids fight, no, that's my commissioner. No, she's my commissioner. She's not your commissioner. But it's the fact that knowing that the kids, I'm making an impact. I'm meeting them when they are, being able to provide the services that they need for a brighter future, making sure I'm empowering them to be good, you know, law-abiding, and that's the most important part, law-abiding, productive parts of our community. I would say that if you don't live in a community that's high poverty, you don't really understand the struggles. You may think you know, but you have no idea. There's always this misconception that the people don't want better for themselves, and that's far from the truth. So for those listening, rather than judging a community, roll your sleeves up and get involved. Figure out what you're doing, how it can positively impact the community, specifically our youth. When I think about programs like Page 15 that does reading literacy with our youth, when I think about the Read Charity Foundation and all the other organizations that are pouring into our, you know, Ginsburg, that are pouring into our youth to make sure that they are successful. Third grade pipeline to prison is real. So making sure we are helping our youth where they are from birth and looking at the services is important. I'll have a couple special guests to talk through youth, for more specifically the data piece. You know, there's gaps and there's areas, but I want the listeners to get more comfortable with getting the services that your children need and being accepting of things that our past generations told us was not okay. Mental health and getting therapy is okay no matter how old or how young you are. If it's a 3-year-old that's experiencing something, getting them the diagnosis and the assessments to be able to help them, those things are important. You know, our youth are our future, and we've got to be able to create an environment that's conducive. I would say one of the biggest challenges facing our youth, my opinion, in District 5 and beyond is social media. Unfortunately, social media is allowing our children to believe that they can become instantly famous no matter what poor decision they make. And I think societally, we have to get to a better place. You know, I know that Meta is doing more of like age verification, et cetera. But, you know, how easy is it to just put any date? So I would say like that's probably the biggest challenge that I feel our youth are facing. There's this like, I've got to be famous or I've got to be popular. And I'm going to say this, quiet is kept. Some of the people making the most money and are doing the most work, they're not famous and they're not popular. They're not even looking for social media. I mean, and I'm, you know, this may sound off, but I don't see Elon Musk on social media every day, right? He might tweet, but he's not in the camera facing going viral. He's behind the scenes doing work. And for those listeners who may not like Elon, I'm using a specific example of what's the reality, right? And so I think that we've got to work together in our community to make sure our youth know that we love them, no matter who they are, no matter what they look like, boy, girl, no matter their gender, their race, their ethnicity, we love them. And I think if we continue to pour into them, we will see the great things that will continue to come out of them. The moments, you know, I mentioned earlier, like the moments are when the kids know and are making better decisions, when we're providing the resources that they need. When you attend a graduation, Jones had a 98% graduation rate with millions of tens of millions of dollars in scholarships. Those are the things that remind me every day why it's worth it. When I hear success stories of lives being changed, like those are my moments. Watching, you know, our young people really develop and have confidence. You know, Page 15, and I'll stick right there for a minute. They as a group, and they speak. They have a outdoor session where lots of people come and listen to our young people tell poetry. And so being able to publicly speak and being confident is what's most important. I am truly committed to the youth and families in our communities to make sure that all of the tools, the resources are available. And where there are gaps, I'm filling those gaps. Whether it's, you know, we need groceries. In Paramore, we're getting a mini grocery store. So being able to meet the needs of the community is what's most important. It's my why every day. And I'll continue to create the programs and provide the services for our youth and our families. And I want you to get involved. If you want to know how to get involved, email my office, district5@orlando.gov. Sign up. We volunteer. I do volunteer opportunities for all the activities that I'm sponsoring or I'm attending. The youth are our future, and we all have to roll up our sleeves together to create the best outcome. Thank you for tuning in and listening on another episode of Straight From Rose podcast. Until next time.